What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Level 3. Steve Merrill will step up and in and kick it with us. We're not done yet. The quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio and the baseball playoffs aren't done either. We're just getting started. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals, of course, throwing it down on Wednesday night. We'll be picking up the pieces following this game. And what a matchup. Adam Wainwright versus Max Scherzer. Unfortunately, Max Muncy is going to be out. He's going to be out for a prolonged period of time for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers are holding out a glimmer of hope. Max Muncy will be able to play. And a glimmer of hope is their exact quote. Will be able to play in the postseason. Muncy suffered a dislocated left elbow and some other damage in the joint on Sunday in that collision. You know, the Dodgers have had a million injuries this year, but, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, and nobody's going to feel sorry for the Dodgers. Nobody's going to feel sorry for the Los Angeles Dodger lineup that is deeper than the Grand Canyon. So it is what it is. Muncy's out, next man up. St. Louis Cardinals are the next team up. And, man, both these teams just come in with such a great pedigree. And historically, the pedigree leans with the St. Louis Cardinals. They played 5 times in the postseason. The Cardinals have won 4 of the 5. It's all over but the crying, and that's not actually all over but the crying yet in New York, because there's going to be a lot of raging going on. Should be interesting to see what the morning newspaper headlines are, and nobody does it better than, of course, the New York Post does. So Boston advances, yet let's be real here. Let's be real. Boston's not beating Tampa Bay. You know, so they can have their glory that they knocked off the New York Yankees, and it's good for them, and it's fun for the rivalry and all that, and that's another, you know, put it on the board. Put it on the board. That's a win for the Boston Red Sox in a rivalry against the Yankees again. But with that being stated, Tampa Bay, Boston are good, and they were good enough to beat the Yankees in one game at Fenway, but I don't think they're good enough to beat the Tampa Bay Rays in a 5-game setting. I like the Rays. We're going to lay the price with the Rays in this series. And, you know, you look at the landscape right now and how things are starting to shape up as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The Chicago White Sox and the Houston Astros go at it on Thursday. So here are the numbers. So we know about tomorrow's number. And you know what? It's down another 5 cents right now. Los Angeles Dodgers minus 220. Total is 7.5. Cardinals with Wainwright pay plus 184 against Scherzer. Chicago White Sox and Houston. They go out at Thursday at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Little after 4 o'clock Eastern time. Houston Astros. McCullers versus TBD. All right, but they've already got a number. TBD is plus 128. The Houston Astros are minus 152. I like the Houston Astros to win this series in 4 games. You can lay a game and a half in this series, and you get plus 184. It's not bad. Rays are minus 190 in game 1. The Late Night Anger Management Class, it's level 3. The countdown to first pitch is on. The St. Louis Cardinals and the Los Angeles Dodgers wild card action. And, of course, the San Francisco Giants await. It's going to be a wild week and a wild month of baseball. The baseball playoffs have begun. Boston beats New York 6-2. They cashed the ticket. They were plus 116. And as we talked about off the top of the program, for those of you that are going to be betting baseball when, you know, number one, don't hammer a game too much. Like, no game is a lock in baseball, all right? No game is a lock. That's one. Yeah, that's advice number one. Number two, generally, you know, you can't get in trouble if you're taking underdogs into baseball playoffs. Now, it doesn't mean that underdogs are going to win every game. It doesn't mean I say the St. Louis Cardinals are going to win this game tomorrow. But what I am saying is, you know, on a day-by-day basis, there's, you know, the aces don't always win. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is the baseball playoffs are crazy ass and they're volatile, all right? That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're volatile. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, man. You're in a five-game series. You better win those games at home. You know, I don't know how much home field really means any, you know, what it means in football anymore. But at this time of the year, I think it matters in baseball. Like, for certain cities, I think it matters. Like, if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers and you're playing San Francisco, you'd rather be playing in Los Angeles, right? The Giants would rather be playing in San Francisco. I mean, the crowd is just so rabid. It's so intense. Similar situation tonight. Like, honestly, if the Red Sox were playing at Yankee Stadium tonight, I probably would have taken the Yankees, right? But they, you know, they were at home, and they were home dogs. I just didn't believe in Gerrit Cole. So we've been pretty baseball heavy. We're going to get into some more baseball with Steve Merrill. We'll talk a little football, but I can't wait, man. What a week ahead. What a week ahead. It's almost like, man, my head is spinning. NBA futures. All right, we got NHL futures. All right, what about the NFL? And normally on Thursday nights, we get a crap-ass Thursday night football game in the National Football League. Not this week. The Los Angeles Rams hit the Pacific Northwest. The Seattle Seahawks are plus 2.5-point home dogs. How are the Rams going to react after losing Arizona? I don't think well. I think they're beatable. I think if you're a good quarterback, you can beat the Rams. And you know what? I think Russell Wilson's a good quarterback. Steve Merrill, next.
To win, you need a plan. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you the winning edge. You're listening.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Marantz. We're throwing it down. SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Let's bring in Lucky Steve Merrill, WagerTalk.com, WagerTalk TV in the house. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gabe, great to be here, and we got baseball playoffs starting. It's a great time to be a baseball fan and watcher here in the month of October.
Well, it's a great time to be a sports fan right now. All the worlds are colliding. National Hockey League regular season starts 7 days from now. NBA regular season now just a couple of weeks away. Preseason, of course, has begun. Football, in which we're going to get to. So listen, there's a ton of games and series I want to break down with you here. So let's not live in the past. The Red Sox and Yankees got the party started. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals play Wednesday night in Los Angeles. Hopefully there's not a lightning delay, Steve. Right? Well, hopefully there's no lightning delays in this baseball game. But despite winning 106 games, the Los Angeles Dodgers playing in a wild card, and the odds makers are making you pay a price if you want to take the Dodgers, minus 225.
Yeah, by the way, in hindsight, we should have known that a lightning delay would be good for the Chargers, right? And they came right out and lit it up.
I said that. It was a godsend. I knew when I saw lightning bolts, how the hell were the Chargers not going to win?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and it turned out that way. Dodgers, you know, look, 106 wins, and they don't even make the divisional round. They're in a one-and-done scenario still after 162 games, and that's, of course, because they finished one behind the Giants, who had the best record in baseball. So the two best records in baseball, second-best record in baseball, and they're still in a one-and-done. They only have a 67% chance mathematically to win this game based on the odds that you just quoted. So there's a 1-in-3 chance they don't advance. Now, they should advance. They're the best team in baseball. They've got maybe the best pitcher right now in baseball with Scherzer, so they got their preferred starter. It's going to be a tough spot, though, you know, in the next series, Gabe, being five games, because at most they're only going to get them two, and that's what they would have hoped for. But, you know, maybe only game three now. So it sets up well for the Giants still, regardless who wins this game, I think. And our buddy Dave Sherpin was on Wager Talk today, earlier today on Tuesday, with me and Teddy. And Sherpin said the books do not want the Giants winning. They've got huge liabilities on the San Francisco Giants just because they were such long shots, and they took bets on them earlier this year. So, although, you know, it looks like this game is pretty heavy Dodgers, the Cardinals look like the contrarian call, sportsbooks probably wouldn't mind seeing the Dodgers win because that means they have a better chance of knocking out those Giants.
Yeah, but I imagine, how much money do they have on the Dodgers, dude?
But like, yeah, but the thing is, like Dave said, though, you know, Gabe, they're like 3-1, 4-1 all year, you know, so there's not a lot of liability. The Giants are huge, you know, underdogs.
Yeah, when no, I know. Started. When the Giants probably came in, God knows what they were before the season started, right? What, 70-1 or something like
that? I'm guessing, yeah. I'd have to look it up, probably at least 50-1 or higher, yeah.
Some big numbers, exactly. Nobody thought they were going to be good. But we always hear that stuff. Dave worked for a sports book. They always cry about their liability and stuff. Like, so, you know what I mean? Oh, man, our liability. So a couple of people bet on San Francisco in the Bay Area, went to Vegas, or Reno.
In Dave's defense, he was saying they don't want the Giants to win. So, I mean, I do think there's something there. And, you know, you would have thought it's the Dodgers they don't want to win. Because basically the way it came up was, I was like, you know, the sports books would probably like to see the Cardinals knock the Dodgers out. But I think the sports books are more worried about the Giants, you know. So, yeah, ideally, Gabe, they'd like the Cardinals to knock the Giants out, I guess. But, yeah, I think San Francisco's the team that could hurt them, though, big picture.
You know, one thing with the Dodgers, though, unlike other teams, they're not – you know, you mentioned Max Scherzer, fine. All right, so Max Scherzer can't pitch every day, but they have Walker. Yeah, they got Walker Buehler, right?
True.
They have, they have Jose Arias. They've got big time guys that they can throw on the hill, and it can handle themselves. They have, you know, listen, one series at a time. I'm interested to see that, though. We'll see in the end, because I got to believe, listen, how many people are on the Los Angeles Dodgers? And I get it, doesn't pay that massive money, but how many people actually bet on San Francisco? We'll find out. I mean, if San Francisco does well, you know what I mean? Darren Rovell and these guys will find somebody and tweet the ticket out. But you know, I don't know how many of them there are really out there. So the National League series, the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers, I'll say your Milwaukee Brewers. Listen, you know I was on the Bucks bandwagon.
I'm not getting
the same love for the Brewers, though.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about it a few months ago, it was 13-1, but you can still, our friends at FanDuel still have it like 9.5-1, I think, or 9-1 last I
can't
checked.
Can't argue,
so
it's a good number, you know, just
yeah, I mean, and you haven't had to tie your money up for those last 2 months. So to be honest, getting them at 9-1 now is probably not much different than 13-1 in June when I mentioned it, because your money hasn't been tied up for the last 3 months. So, yeah, it's the same setup here. The Braves actually had a better net run differential on the season than the Brewers. So do the Dodgers and Giants, obviously. The big difference, though, is, you know, once again, we talk about pitching rotations. The Brewers are stacked, just like the Dodgers. You know, they don't just have one ace. They've got two with Burns and Woodruff when they had their A game. Peralta could get healthy. You know, he would have been a solid third guy as well. They're going to be a tough out for the Braves. The Braves have more offense. The Brewers have always had offensive problems. The Braves have been strong offensively, but in a 5 or a 7-game series, it's about pitching, it's about defense, and I still think it's setting up well for Milwaukee, and they only have to beat the Giants or Dodgers. They don't have to beat both of them, and if they get lucky, they might not have to
beat
any.
That's where they do get lucky, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or St. Louis, as you stated, they end up with a division rival in the end. They end up playing. This one, I think, is trickier because, you know, I agree with what you stated. You know, Milwaukee's pitching is pretty top tier, right? It's top tier. They have top tier elite pitching. I'll give you that. The Atlanta Braves have the better offense. We'll both agree with that, as you just stated. But, Steve, I think people, and not really, because, you know, it's not like the Brewers are massive favorites here. They're minus 142 at FanDuel right now. But I don't mind the Atlanta Braves pitching. I like Charlie Morton. I like Max Fried. Anderson is a wild card in this and how, you know, how well he pitches. But listen, Charlie Morton's won World Series games before, Steve. And Max Fried's a good pitcher. So I think Atlanta's pitching can hold their own.
And let's not forget the Braves had, what was it, a 3-1 lead on the Dodgers last year? All they had to do was win one of the final three games, and they're in the World Series. People forget how Atlanta was had a 3 out of 4 games. They won 3 out of the first 4 against the eventual world champs. So, yeah, you know, this team obviously suffered a big – Acuna's injury was big, obviously, but they've still been really good since he went down. And there's no question offensively they're better. And that was the case last year. You know, they were a good offensive team. Their pitching was questionable. But they had a 3-1 lead on the Dodgers in the championship round. So it's not like they haven't been here, done that before.
And they've added pieces as well, veteran players. They just sort of have a different makeup and chemistry of this team. It's amazing that they've done it, as you stated, without their best player as well. But the organization did a great job. Just sort of, you know, trades here, trades there. Guys that nobody really noticed that they picked up. And it all came together for them. And plus, Freeman's had an MVP caliber season. I think they're a dangerous team. You know, it's a 5-game series. Anything can happen. Steve, I've always been of the belief, too, in a 5-game series that I don't mind starting on the road. Like, if you're a home team, bro, and, like, you know, you and I talk about our home stuff, home field, home court, home ice, all that stuff doesn't mean as much. But still, it's not so much about that, but it's just about, you know, dude, you lose the first 2 games, you're going on the road, and, you know, they win once, and they win the series. You know, road team gets that split, they go home, they can win the series. There's a lot of bad things and bad options. It's like throwing a football, Steve. In the old days, like, Bo Schembechler, I don't want to throw the ball, you know. 3 things can happen when you throw the ball, and 2 of them are bad, right? It's one of those type of deals. If you have home field advantage in a 5-game series, you better win those first 2 games. Otherwise, you know, it becomes dicey.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing is, too, like, the more games you play, obviously, the more the better team should win. That's why we talk about the NBA playoffs. You don't see nearly as many upsets as you do the NCAA tournament, right?
Because it's a 1-and-done. I missed the 5 games in the NBA. That's when we used to actually have a few first-round upsets.
Right, and, you know, then you look here, like, in this Dodgers situation, once again, I think the Dodgers, you know, would love, you know, they'll match up well against the Giants. Like you said, Scherzer and Buehler are going 4 out of, you know, well, that way, you know, if it was a 7-game series, it'd be 4 out of 7. You know, that they get, they're going to Buehler and Scherzer for at least 3 out of 5, I would think. So you got to like their chances there. I'd like it more, though, if it was a 7-game series against the Giants. But I go back to this Cardinals situation. Yes, they have a 67% chance of winning Wednesday night, but that 1-and-done scenario is just dangerous. You know, you never know if a guy might be, if Scherzer's a little bit off, or, you know, if one guy hits a home run. You know, it's just, obviously, the law of averages work better for the Dodgers the longer they get into the playoffs. So these first 2.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Rounds, the Cardinals 1-and-done in a 5-game instead of a 7 is, you know, it's going to be tough for the Dodgers. They're definitely the team to beat. And Walker Buehler was probably a Cy Young, you know, front runner, and then Scherzer kind of passed him. And can you imagine if they had Bauer still, you know, or if they had May? I mean, they probably don't pick up Scherzer maybe if that's the case, but still, they're just loaded.
Steve Merrill, Wager Talk, kicking it with us on the Late Night Anger. Management class. Countdown to first pitches. All the Los Angeles Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals will talk football on the other side. Bring it.
Winning Edge benefit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Steve Merrill, WagerTalk.com in the house with us. So, Steve, before we get onto the gridiron, what do you think about the White Sox and the Astros series?
I think it's probably 2 evenly matched teams. In fact, if you look at the odds for the possible matchup, or at least the pennant odds right now, the Astros are actually the favorite to win ahead of Tampa Bay, which is a little surprising because obviously, you know, Tampa been there, done that, but so has Houston. I mean, they're a veteran team as well. But the 2 most likely matchups are Dodgers-Astros and then Dodgers-Rays, and we might not even get the Dodgers past tomorrow. That's another thing that's just so crazy about how these odds are going to be shuffled up if St. Louis does pull that upset. I think this is a pretty evenly matched series. I feel like Chicago might have the better pitching this year, you know, and it's something that Houston's been pretty strong with over the years, but they're not the same pitching staff. But offensively, I think Houston's a better team. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of that Brewers-Braves series. You know, you've obviously got 2 division winners that pulled away 1 easily down the stretch. Houston, though, has just smoked them. They've put up 67 more runs this year, but they've given up about 26 more runs or 22 runs more. So Better pitching Chicago, better offense Houston. Very similar situation, evenly matched series.
But also there's a difference in which one team has a playoff pedigree. One team has played in big games before. Right. The White Sox have not. You know, a couple of guys have, but for the most part, they have not. La Russa obviously has been around forever. But my deal is, and I know Houston did wrap up that division, but they competed at least down the stretch. The White Sox seem to have just mailed it in ever since that Field of Dreams game.
Yeah, and that was an emotional game. I mean, it really was one of the best regular season games I'd seen. And you do wonder if that took a little bit out of them. They were in such a weak division, like you said. I mean, obviously Seattle surprised. Oakland, LA Angels underperformed. But, you know, still, Houston was only 5 games ahead with Seattle when it was all said and done. The White Sox were 13 games ahead of Cleveland, 16 ahead of Detroit. Every team behind them had a losing record in the AL Central.
Those teams are terrible in the Central.
Right.
Let's be real.
And keep in mind, they played extra games against them. So the fact that they're just 2 games behind Houston, they should be more games behind Houston probably. Net run differential, they're 45 net runs behind Houston. They're 23 net runs behind the Blue Jays. By the way, Gabe, the Red Sox and Yankees both finished 1 game ahead of Toronto. Their combined net runs were still 61 less net runs in Toronto alone. I mean, that's how good the Blue Jays were this year. They really got hosed. You know, hopefully they can do it again next year. But, yeah, and also it's funny because we talk about Houston, the better offensive team, pedigree. Atlanta, better offense, and they've been there before. Milwaukee, Chicago, better pitching but less experience. So it really kind of evens out both series.
I got screwed over. I hate talking about run differential. It happened to me. I got screwed over as a kid, in which it was the city championships, too. It was, like, big time. And it was, like, a tournament. So we won our league and everything. And then, you know, we went on and you play. And then we didn't lose. So it was a tournament, Steve. So, like, the NCAA, there was a bracket and everything, right? So we did not lose, except we made it to the championship game on Sunday. And it was like a monsoon, Steve. Like, we weren't playing type deal. And they didn't reschedule. Like, it was just like, that was that. Like, the tournament was over. You know what I mean? They said, no, it's going to be raining for days. And this is that. And we lost, even though we were 5-0. And the other team was 5-0 because they had a bigger run differential than us.
You lost without losing a game. That might be the first time in the history of sports I've ever heard of that happening. That's pretty awesome. I mean, why they should?
Yeah, and we were a defensive type team. We had good pitching and stuff. So like, we won like 4-0, 5-0, and these guys won like 9-1 and stuff like that. But like, we never played, and it was a big debate. It was like a big, it was a big thing. Like, there was a story in the newspaper. I had the clippings. Like, local team gets screwed over and all that. Like,
yeah, that should have been a split championship. I mean, that's the better way to handle it.
We were awarded trophies, actually, by our own federation and stuff.
Yeah, it should have been. I mean, because you didn't lose. So you did what Bubba Wallace did. You got
it was like
rain.
College football split or something. You know what I mean? We got screwed over. And the thing is, it became a language thing. Like, it was a big debate. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like, it got nasty and stuff. Like, old, like, punches were nearly thrown with people. Like, there was, it went to, like, an arbitrator and all. It was pretty nasty. it was pretty nasty for, like, kids type stuff. It was real. And it was real, real. But I always, every time I the run differential, I'm like, yeah, I do believe it's over under 62. But if you're playing in a damn tournament, it's different, Steve. Especially if you're a bunch of kids. Listen, we would have ran up the score more if we would have known we're going to get screwed over. You know what I mean?
That's exactly the best point of all right there, is that, like, basically, had you known, you could have routed those other teams more, which is the exact opposite of what anybody wants you doing at that level.
I know. You're right. So you're backwards. Jerks. Yeah, we would have. Yeah, I never forget that. Just sorry, but I don't want to hear my Al Bundy stories, but it just sort of hit a nerve when Steve brought it up. I'm like, you know, because it was baseball, too. That's why I'm like, yeah, I got screwed over by baseball run differential before. So, all right, Steve, I'm going to disagree, though. I think the Astros get them. I think the Astros are going to beat them. We'll see. Like I said, I really buy in that the White Sox are going to have a problem flicking the switch and playing this intense baseball just suddenly like this.
Well, the other thing, Gabe, too, the White Sox were 27-29 against winning teams. The Astros were 35-32. That's a huge thing. And the Braves, meanwhile, 31-37. Brewers 32-36, so both Atlanta and Milwaukee under
kind of the same.
Yeah, but no, I agree. I don't like Chicago. I just said I think you make an argument a little bit better pitching, but there's a lot of things pointing to Houston. I agree with you.
All right. So what about Thursday night football, Steve? Seahawks and Rams, and we discussed the Ram game last week. That was one of the more, I don't know, was it a wise guy bet, Steve? A sharp guy bet, but I mean, the Rams are coming off that impressive win against the Buccaneers. They, you know, FanDuel had it at 6 last Sunday night. It went all the way down to 3.5, and it did end up closing at 4.5. But nevertheless, you know, the Arizona backers were correct in that spot. So what about the Rams spot now coming off that loss on a short week? Going to Seattle, who did not look good in the first half, and it came together for them, Steve. I don't really know who Seattle are, to be honest with you, so far this year. Big football game, though. What do you make of the Thursday nighter?
Yeah, I mean, every game of the NFC West is big this year. You know, it's like there's not a down week. I mean, it's just insane. You got Cardinals and Niners this week as well.
Yeah, it's all division action here. Massive games. Like, they're two-game swings in this division.
Yeah, and I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs currently are in last place in their own division. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the Western divisions. But I stayed off the side. We actually had a strong best bet for my clients at wagertalk.com on the over, Rams-Cardinals over. I talked about that, too, when we talked about the game here on your show last week. And I don't see anything different in this one. Short week, primetime game. You always lean towards the over in these primetime games. Rams have gone over in all four now. Put up 58 with Tampa, 57 last week. This total, once again, that 54.5, you know, that's pretty much been the sweet spot for these totals.
Yeah.
And 54 is a key number. I got burned a couple weeks ago in the Kansas City Charger game, landed right 54.
Because Jackass missed the extra point.
Right. So, you know, 54 and 55 are key numbers. But you just look at the passing matchups here. I mean, you know, Stafford's been just fantastic. And the Seattle Seahawks secondary is not good this year. But Russell Wilson is still fantastic for the most part. So you got two teams that are averaging almost 90 yards per pass. Both teams average almost a first down every time they drop back to pass.
That's amazing. And for the record, we should pat ourselves on the back, if you guys remember. And I know we give so many picks on this show, but as long as we're Los Angeles, UCLA and Arizona State, we talked about that number being a little light. Remember, Steve?
Yes.
And that over cashed as well. So the Rams are 2.5-point favorites. This is a big game, and you know, Seattle lost at home against Tennessee already. How many games are they really going to lose at home? To me, this is a big test for Stafford. I think that people anointed Stafford the MVP and, you know, the savior, so to speak, a little bit too prematurely. He has played well, Steve, but let's see him go on the road and win a big game like this now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've been home for three of their four games. Their only road game was at Indianapolis. They did have a sizable, you know, they had a good lead in that, but they still did not cover. They won by only three as a 3.5-4-point road favorite. I remember because that was a very public play that week in the Colts.
Got a cast. Bears team in week one that aren't exactly terrible. Explosive. Yes. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, well, now Tampa and Arizona, obviously, the last 2 weeks, but those were both at home. And, you know, I know this is a divisional game, but they're coming off two big home divisional games against Tampa and Arizona, or Tampa and then Arizona.
Yeah, the Tampa game was big. You're right. It felt like a draining game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tampa game was probably the biggest game they've played. And then they had an undefeated divisional foe in Arizona. And, you know, now they're going on a short week, and it's always such a disadvantage for these road teams because both teams have just 3 days of prep, but then the Rams lose one because of travel. So it does look like a potentially bad spot for Stafford. You know, maybe if you're looking at some props, if you want to try to play some unders, this might be the week. The problem is, like I said, though, Seattle's pass defense has been really bad this year. So it's a good matchup for Stafford, and he's just so consistent, you know. And he's been a great quarterback since he was the number one overall pick in 2009. He just hasn't been on a good team, and I'm happy to see him doing well this year.
Yeah, now he's, I don't know, he doesn't have a lot of experience. I'd like to know how many times he's played in the Pacific Northwest before. Right, yeah. He hasn't left his little bubble.
Primetime games either, right, Gabe? He probably got like one Thursday night game every year at Detroit, and that was it.
I think he lost on that Hail Mary game to Rodgers. I remember that one.
Green Bay.
You're right. And then, of course, his Thanksgiving days. Those are his TV games.
That's true. Yeah, so you know they don't give them any other prime times. They're like, we got to put them on Thursday on Thanksgiving. I guess maybe they give them another one. That might end up counting as their Thursday. Yeah, I mean, you do get the feeling like he hasn't had a lot of big games. So
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It was a nice win against – I can't take it away from him. You know, I can't take it away, you know, the Buck game. All right, Steve, so time has just flown by here. We got about a minute and a half left here. So I'm looking forward to the Red River Shootout. I don't call it the rivalry. If I'm politically correct, fine. But the Red River Shootout, this Texas team's a good football team, but everybody's so critical of Oklahoma all the time. Yeah, and even Rattler – dude, they've scored on 10 of their last 12 drives. They're undefeated. Their defense is playing well. So I think people are a little too critical about Oklahoma, but I do buy into Sark, and I think the Longhorns are a dangerous team. 63.5 is the total there. Sooners laying 3.5.
Yeah, Sooner Lisa would never allow you to not call it the Shootout, so I'm glad to see you didn't cave on that one because that is definitely how I look at it as well. Big thing for me, though, with Oklahoma is, you know, this offense, it's not been as explosive as years past. Just 23 against Nebraska, just 16 against West Virginia. I don't know if they really broke out last week against Kansas State. They only had 390 yards in that game on the 37 points. But this game smells like an over. You know, two teams that can normally trade points. Texas is averaging almost 44 a game. Just don't know what to make of this Oklahoma team right now if they're as explosive as the years past.
Well, I'll tell you what, they better put up points, otherwise you're going to lose this game.
True.
It's as simple as that. Steve Merrill, we'll catch up with Lucky Steve Merrill later in the week. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This lady says I'm an artist.
You an artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Mean Gene. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're kicking it here on the Twisted Tuesday. Countdown is on. I'm starting to get fired up for this Los Angeles Dodgers-St. Louis Cardinals game. It's just amazing, isn't it, how things... There's so many things that could be different here. Like, I don't know, the Dodgers could be going to San Francisco. St. Louis could be going to San Francisco. And there's not... we're off and running right now. It's the calm before the storm. You know, we've been talking about what a crazy week it's going to be, and unfortunately we didn't get the tiebreakers. But so tonight the Boston Red Sox beat the Yankees. 6-2 is the final score. Yankees have, they have some assessing to do, this Yankee baseball team. Cashman has some assessing to do. The Steinbrenners have some assessing to do. I don't think you need to blow it up. I think, you know, the pieces are there for the New York Yankees, but... You know, it was a strange year for them, actually, in which they hit a million home runs, but they didn't get timely hitting. You know, it's crazy to say that the Yankees were not. Listen, they had a ton of injuries as well. So, you know, it's never pretty. And I say this all the time, and it's something to remind everybody of right now. Now we're in the playoffs. It's never pretty. Like the last game, doesn't matter how good your season was and stuff. Like what happens if the Dodgers lose tomorrow? What are people going to say after? Well, they should have done this, or they should have, like, well, what are you, shut up. We should have done what? They won 106 games, right? They won 106 games, right? There's always that sort of, well, you know, when a team loses, it's never pretty at the end, right? The implosion at the end. But if you're the Yankees, you know, basically act like it and spend money, right? Since George Steinbrenner's passed, the Suns have been a little tight with the spending. Now, it doesn't mean that they haven't spent any money, right? They gave Gerrit Cole money, and Gerrit Cole didn't get it done for them tonight. But that's besides the point. You've got to give a ton of guys money, right? Like, that's like, you basically, that's what you got to do, right? If you're the New York Yankees, the Yankees don't have a great farm system, right? So they don't really have a choice but to sort of reach out. They've developed some good players, and... You know, listen, Judge is a good player, and it's not his fault they're not winning, but I don't know, they're missing some leadership, that team. You know, I'm not going to blame Boone, the manager, but Jason B. Takovin, who joined us earlier in the week, had a good point, just as far as the team getting better. And baseball players are incredibly thin-skinned. All right? Like, they really are. Like, the modern baseball player is the worst, guys. The worst. And I like baseball players. Like, I got along. I've been around all different professional athletes and stuff, like, you know, covering teams. And I got along probably, I could say, even though I played hockey, I've gotten along better probably with baseball players than anyone else, to be honest. Right? Like, I've gotten along, like, you know, I've gotten along really, really well with baseball players. Baseball managers, but baseball players, you know, they're pretty cool dudes. Right? There, a lot of them are just sports fans. You know, they bet in NCAA tournaments, pools, and you know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of baseball players are cool dudes and it's just sports fans and regular guys and stuff. But over the years, I guess it's the money. Again, I guess not, I guess it is. I mean, look, we all have egos. Every human being has some sort of ego or, like, attitude about something, right? And imagine, like, the attitude that you have in your life about things sometimes, and imagine if you had millions of dollars. Because even like a scrub baseball player that people have never heard of, well, you know, almost everyone's a millionaire besides the guy's just, you know, on a rookie, you know, making his first whatever. Besides a scrub guy, like all the kid prospects are millionaires. So you know what I'm saying? Everyone's rich. So even like, you know, a good example is Tommy Hutton. You know, Tommy Hutton was a lifelong baseball player, lifer guy in the game, played the game, was an announcer forever, color guy forever. And not exactly known as, like, you know, Tommy controversy. And he was doing Marlin games, all right? Marlin games, like a couple of years ago. And the Marlins were terrible. And the Marlin players got him fired. Because basically he would criticize the players, not like personally, but, you know, this guy doesn't hit, he doesn't learn, like whatever. Just, and players know what is said about them, right? Like, they do. Like, I'm not saying, you know, some guys will listen to shows, not many, but they'll be told what is said. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if a player says, nah, man, I don't listen to the sports talk shows, or I don't watch games and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, not too many Major League Baseball players, guys, are DVRing their own games and then going home and watching them. Right? Like, a lot of, you know what I mean? They're not doing that. There might be a couple of nut jobs that do it. You know what I mean? Pitchers that want to isolate stuff on their own. And, you know, but so they don't know what is said about them during a game. Right? Like, they don't know. They're in the outfield and they're going out to eat to a restaurant, or they're going back to the hotel after a game. They don't know what is said about them during a broadcast. Right? But they all have friends, and they all have, like, you know, parents, dad watches every game type thing, or their girlfriend watches and a wife watches type thing. Maybe the wife and the girlfriend, haha, wink, wink, I need the drum roll. But you know what I mean? And they'll be told. So basically, like Tommy Hutton, that's what happened. And Tommy Hutton told me that, like, point blank. And he said, yeah, basically said that the players' wives, he said the players' wives used to, like, plant it in their in the husband that I was ripping them all the time. And basically, so many players complained, they got fired. And it's pretty crazy. Like, the owner, they basically said, listen, it's easier just to get rid of you than deal with all these pissed off players all the time. And think about it. The Marlins suck, and they got the guy fired. They're not even good. I would have told him, get better so he won't have to criticize you if I owned the team. Because Tommy Hutton wasn't out of line. It wasn't personal. You know, like Vladimir Guerrero, senior, not junior. And I love Vlad. Very nice guy. He was very nice to me. But, you know, Frank Robinson's one of the greatest players ever to play the game. And Frank Robinson was manager of the Expos. And Vladimir Guerrero, if you recall, senior, his son has more discipline in the plate, which is impressive. So Vlad, senior, if you recall, that guy used to swing at everything, right? Like, he'd literally swing. If you threw a one hopper, he'd swing at it. And he took pride in being able to hit any pitch type thing. And it was funny. I remember I saw him once. Someone tried to intentionally walk him, and he hit it. He literally hit the intentional walk. Like, he got so like, no, 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 I'm going to hit it. And he reached over, and he plunked it for a single. I was thinking, you know, bro, they were about to walk you anyways. So that's the kind of guy Vlad was, though. Like, you know, Vlad ripped a home run over his head once. Like, a pitch was literally over his head, and he hit him for a home run. So, but it was a detriment because pitchers knew that, man, this guy will freaking swing at anything. Like, he really will swing at anything. So, yeah, he'll hit it, and he's amazing, but I'll take my chances. So, So pitchers used to throw like crazy like pitches to Vladimir Guerrero Sr. and he would swing at them. So Frank Robinson used to get like frustrated and stuff. And Frank Robinson, the manager, like, you know, one day went up to him in a batting cage, all right? And this is a true story. Frank told me this story personally. And Frank Robinson went up to Vladimir Guerrero, and he told him, and Vlad doesn't speak English well, but he does if you're a hot girl type thing. So Vlad played, like, kind of dumb. They didn't understand, but even though he did, like, right, he, you know. So Robinson didn't, like, confront him, really. Like, Robinson sort of told him, hey, man. You know, because Frank knew. So Frank buttered him up. He basically said, listen, Vlad, you're an amazing hitter and you're awesome and stuff. But he said you'd be even better if you didn't swing at everything. And he said, you know, why don't you lay off? And Frank just said, why don't you lay off, like, some of these pitches and just be more selective and, you know, it'll be better. And Vladimir Guerrero looked at him and sort of smiled and nodded. Didn't say anything. Right, like, didn't tell him, get out of my face or anything like that. But Vladimir Guerrero just sort of nodded, smiled, said, yeah, okay. And about two, three days later, Frank Robinson got a phone call. And Frank Robinson told me the story. He got a phone call. He answers his phone. He's like, hello? It was Vladimir Guerrero's agent. It was Vladimir Guerrero's agent. And Vladimir Guerrero's agent basically said, hi, Frank. Yeah, I understand. Like, you had a conversation with Vlad the other day. So right away, you know. So in other words, Matias, Vladimir Guerrero snitched out right away. You know what I mean? Guerrero, like, called his agent because how dare the manager talk to him? You know what I mean? So he called his agent. And basically, the agent said to Frank, listen, you know, Vlad's not mad or anything, but he'd appreciate it if you don't talk to him anymore, like, type thing. Like, he didn't say, like, yeah, he didn't say, like, F off. Like, oh, Vlad said, you know. But Vlad, like, basically, the agent said, listen, I think it'd be best if you didn't talk to Vlad in the batting cage. Like, he didn't say don't talk to him ever again, but don't talk to him about hitting again, type thing. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, don't give him any advice. Like, so think about how crazy that is. A ball player calls his agent to complain that the manager asked them not to swing at everything. and that's my whole point with the Yankees. And that's why Girardi got canned. Like, people thought, like, oh, Girardi, you know, in the media and stuff, and whatever. They're not going to fire you just because you don't get along with the New York Post and the New York Daily News. But Girardi was confrontational with the media. You know, he didn't start it, but he would just say, you know, that's a dumb question, next, and, like, stuff like that. But you got Boone coming in here, and it's like, this how I started this take was, like Jason B. Takafin said, the Yankee players didn't like it that Girardi would try to manage them, like, coach them, type thing. That's why they don't win. That's why they don't get better, though. Right? Like, they're the same players all the time. Like, so Girardi would try to give them tips and say, listen, don't do that. Don't do this or do that. Don't sit off this pitch because then you'll get that pitch. Right? Don't be so aggressive. Like, and what happened? The exact same thing. As the story I told you about the Marlins, about Vladimir Guerrero, the exact same thing. Yankee players and their agent, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, every time, you know, they would complain. They would complain to Cashman, and it would just basically, like, listen, you know, Girardi's old school, and I don't really have time to deal with this, and I don't want to deal with this some old school manager in my face, and I hit 42 home runs, so suck it, you know what I mean? They don't want to hear it. It's sort of like NBA players. Like, you know, like, you've got to know how to deal and talk to them, but at the same point in time, you can't, like, not coach them. Right? Like, you've got to be on top of it. They got to respect you. And I guess this goes back to Urban Meyer. So, yeah, word out of Jacksonville now. The Jag owner basically said that Urban Meyer, you know, he's very disappointed and he's lost his trust. Michael Lombardi's reported the Jags have had meetings over the last 2 days in their headquarters. And it's very serious. Like, Some people think Urban Meyer's on the clock right now. He'll just end up with all the U.S.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert...
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Wow. Done already, huh? Done already in the Wicked Wednesday. It's always wicked and off the hook. And plus, we're going to be following the Los Angeles Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals. Minus 225. So, listen, I've got the Dodgers to win the World Series already. So, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to approach this game. I'll probably end up laying the juice, or I'll start, you know, I guess I should have started parlaying this in advance, actually, but... You know, it'll be one of these deals where I'll play the Dodgers. I already have the, like I said, I got the Dodgers to win a World Series. I think I'm going to play the Dodgers again, some futures, because their number's going to go down after they win this game. It's crazy, though, because I took the Dodgers to win the World Series a couple of weeks ago, and I did it thinking that, you know what, they're going to win the division, and then the odds are really going to plummet. Right, like once they get through the wild card, the Dodgers' odds will come down, and they're, you know, I can't wait to see the series price if they play the San Francisco Giants. How the odds makers are going to handle it. But if you're not joining us tomorrow before the game, I do think the Dodgers are going to win this game. The total perplexes me. I think Scherzer is going to toss a gem. I think Wainwright will be good, but the Dodgers will do enough. Like, I'm sort of leaning with the under. I'm thinking like 5-2 LA. 4-2, 5-2. You know, lay a run line, put it in parlays, tune in to Game Time Decisions at 6. And of course, got the Rams and the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks. I love the Seahawks on a teaser. Can I do a baseball teaser? Baseball football teaser? What kind of book won't let you do a baseball football teaser? Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Expert perspectives and actionable insights 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
It's the Winning Edge.
What are you going to do? Not listen?
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.